It's Mother's Day, so I have to say something to the mothers as well. Number one, I am thankful for you mothers. I speak as a son, as who had a mother who trained me in the ways of God, and I'm thankful for her. The most important task of the mother is to raise her children to be godly, to be more like Jesus. Keep it up. It's hard work. Us sons and daughters give you lots of trouble, so keep it up. It's worth it. I'm also thankful for those spiritual mothers, those who invest in the lives of boys and girls who are not theirs biologically, but are theirs by faith. Paul says to Timothy, "You are my true son in the faith," and maybe you're here and you have a true son or daughter in the faith as a mother. And we're thankful for you, so keep it up. Number two, the way to become a better mother is to become more like Jesus. The way to become a better mother is to become more like Jesus. Christianity is not therapy for, oh, I want to be a better person, I want to be a better employer, employee, a better worker, a better mother or father or son or daughter. But the goal of the Christian life is to become more like Jesus, and as we become more like Jesus, we become better people, better mothers, fathers, sons, and daughters. So that's how this message, mothers, relates to you today, even though it's not really a Mother's Day message, because you become a better mother when you become more like Jesus. So before we begin, let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. We need your help today. The Holy Spirit needs to come here and open our eyes, or we will not understand these truths in your word, and we will not be able to apply them to our lives. We will not be able to change. We will not be able to become more like Jesus unless your Holy Spirit works in our lives. And so I plead with you today, do your work that you do by your Holy Spirit, how mysterious it is, but how so thankful we are for the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. We need the Holy Spirit to convict, to comfort us today, and I pray that he would do that. Give me wisdom by your Holy Spirit to preach clearly today that you may be honored. And as we're on the road to change, may we become more like Jesus Christ. In his name, amen. The purpose of my sermon today is to encourage Christians that the Holy Spirit dwells in you and he empowers you to live for God. The Holy Spirit, if you are a Christian, you have him inside you. He dwells in your heart or your spirit, and he empowers you to live for God, to live the Christian life, to do this thing we call change that we've been talking about over the last 4 weeks. So that's the purpose. The Holy Spirit lives in you and empowers you to change. And I want today to unpack that from Galatians chapter 5. So in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 5, if you have one of the blue Bibles, you can turn to page 826. Page 826 from Galatians 5. Now, since we haven't talked about the Holy Spirit in the last several weeks in this series, I want to maybe jog your memory to what the Holy Spirit does generally throughout the Scriptures. On your outlines, I have it for you. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is the third person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who connects us to Christ. Okay? So, Christ accomplished salvation for us. He has righteousness for us. When we look at the New Testament, we see in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who places us in Jesus Christ, who connects us to all the blessings of salvation that are in Christ Jesus. If you like prepositions, you'll like this sentence. God works through Christ by the Holy Spirit. God works through Christ by the Holy Spirit. If you don't like prepositions, well, we'll go to the next sentence. God the Father plans and sends. God so loved the world that he sent. He gave. God the Father plans and sends, the Son accomplishes, and the Spirit acts or applies. So that's how it works. You look at our salvation, that God the Father sent Christ, he accomplished our salvation for us on the cross, and the Holy Spirit comes and applies that salvation to us. That's how the Trinity works generally throughout the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit works in our hearts or spirits, depending on where you're reading in the Scriptures. So that's the Holy Spirit. Brief overview in 2 minutes. The thing we must not forget, the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, if you are a Christian, is real. This is very real as the person sitting next to you. This is very important. This is not icing on the cake. This isn't a birthday candle on the cake. This is the cake that Christ dwells in us by His Holy Spirit. And that's the only way that we can be Christians, the only way that we can live the Christian life, the only way that we can please God, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. This is real, and we must wake up every day and remember that we are Christ because His Spirit dwells in us. So, Galatians chapter 5, I want to be on the right road as we come to this passage, okay? Because we're in chapter 5, and there was four chapters preceding Galatians chapter 5. So a couple things I would like to mention. Why did Paul write this letter? Paul is fighting against the Judaizers, or these Jewish Christians who wanted to add some requirements of the law to faith as a means to be justified. Well, listen, what's happening here? Well, when a person is saved, they place their faith in Christ Jesus alone. That's the only way it works. Us believing and trusting Jesus Christ for salvation. There is no, we add nothing to it. Only faith in Jesus. Well, these guys are coming along and says, well, you need to do some parts of the law if you're going to be saved, if you're going to be a child of God. You need to do some of these things of the law. And the main requirement they're saying is circumcision. You need to be circumcised like the Jewish nation if you're going to be part of God's people. If you want to read up on this, Acts chapter 15. You can jot that down in your notes where this is solved. It's only through faith in Christ that a person is declared righteous or justified. So that's why Paul is writing this letter. And he says, if you preach this gospel of faith plus law-keeping, it's another gospel, and whoever preaches it is supposed to be accursed. Very strong language that Paul uses. So Paul is fighting for the purity of the gospel. Faith in Jesus Christ alone will make you right before God. No other way. I would like to read you a couple verses before we get to chapter 5. If you turn back to Galatians 3, I'll read the first three verses for you. Galatians 3, 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Okay, Paul preached Christ crucified clearly before these Galatians. Verse 2. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Did you become a Christian? Did the Holy Spirit dwell in your hearts and make you alive by keeping law? No way. It was by hearing the gospel and believing. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? So we're saved by the Spirit, and we live the Christian life by the Spirit. And that's what we're going to unpack in chapter 5. The only way we can live the Christian life is by the Holy Spirit's power. Let's turn here, and I'll read for you the passage for today, Galatians 5:13 and following. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who have belonged to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So what's happening here? Paul says, the law is not over you. The law has no power over you. We do not follow Christ by law keeping. But then people say, well, what's going to keep us from running headlong into sin if we're not under law? Well, this is what Paul is answering in this passage, that we're guided and have power by the Spirit to live for God, since we're not under the power of law keeping anymore. There are three ways to describe our relationship with the Spirit in this passage, and you see them on your outline before you. I did not give you any blanks, so you don't have to work at this. There are three ways to describe our relationship with the Spirit, and I would like to unpack those for you today. The three ways that we as Christians are related to the Spirit. Number one, walk by the Spirit. The NIV says, live by the Spirit. Well, the idea of live here is to live your life by the Spirit, or walk. So we're going to use the word walk. If you look down in verse 25, it says, since we live by the Spirit, that's a different word that means made alive. So this word in verse 16 is walk, to live our lives in accordance with the Spirit, or to live or walk by the Spirit. This is a present tense verb. This is something we do. We should do every day in the Christian life. Okay, I would like to explain to you what it means, sinful nature, or perhaps your version has flesh. So we have the Spirit and the flesh in battle here. The flesh is the sinful elements remaining in our humanity that we're battling against. The Spirit and the flesh are in opposition to one another. Okay? The Spirit lives in you, if you're a Christian, to give you new life. And that life, and He empowers us to live the Christian life. So, since He empowers us, we can battle against the old nature, the sinful nature, or the flesh. So what does walk by the Spirit mean? That sounds kind of ambiguous. Well, here's a definition from a commentator. He says, let your conduct be governed by the Spirit. So how do we walk by the Spirit? This sounds, you know, I walk around, I do it by the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, I think verse 17 puts it very clearly for us. It gives us a clue to what's happening. Verse 17, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit, what is contrary to the sinful nature. Desires. This is what happens. We have the desires of the sin nature and the desires of the Spirit. Another way to say this, how do we walk by the Spirit? By living in accordance with the new desires the Spirit of God works in our hearts. Okay? Here's another way to put it. Live your life according to the desire of God which the Spirit forms in you. Live your life according to the desire of God, which the Spirit forms in you. So, that's how walking by the Spirit works. We live in accordance with our new desires that the Spirit works in our lives. How does that work? Well, that's the second point. We are led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. What does led by the Spirit mean? It sounds ambiguous again. Well, here's a definition. The effective influence of the Spirit in the hearts of Christians that enables them to crush the power of indwelling sin and walk in the ways of God's commands. In other words, walking is something that we do, and leading is something that the Spirit does. We talked about throughout this series and change, we've talked about there's things that we do in our change, and there's things that God does. Something that we do is living our lives in accordance with the new desires that the Holy Spirit puts in us. Something that the Spirit does is He forms those desires in us and empowers us to live. That's the leading of the Spirit. His influence in our lives that gives us power to crush sin and to live for God. Walking, leading. Walking, something we do. Living our lives in accordance with the desires. Leading is something the Spirit does. The Spirit gives us those new desires. So the two need to be combined together as we live our Christian life. walk by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Now, second half of verse 18 says, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Well, what does that mean? Well, law-keeping is not a way to come to faith in Christ and is not the way we live the Christian life. Working in our human effort, that's law-keeping. Working in our human effort to try to please God, it doesn't work. The only way we can please God is by walking in the power of the Spirit. Since we have the Spirit, verses 13 and 14 make it very clear. We're called to be free. We're free from law-keeping as a way to please God. We can't do it. We can try all we want. We cannot do it. We're free from law-keeping, but we get to use that freedom as a way to serve others. So being free from law-keeping gives us freedom to be slaves to God and slaves to one another. So that's verses 13 and 14, and that's what verse 18 is talking about. We're not under law anymore. We can't do that. We're another way to put this is that we're going from futile striving, trying to keep this law to please God, to empowered striving. That's the Christian life. We strive to please God, but we can do it because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So from futile, worthless striving, trying to keep these commands, to empowered striving because the Holy Spirit lives in us. That is the Christian life. I'd like to go a little bit into this idea of the works or acts of the sinful nature and the fruit of the Spirit. There's a list of 15 very bad things and a list of 9 very good things here. The acts of the sinful nature or the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Well, what's the first obvious difference? One is acts and works, these outward things that sinners do, and the other one is fruit, something that comes naturally and comes from inside of us. So that's the difference between works or acts and fruit. The actions of the sinful nature or the flesh are outward and obvious. It says in verse 19, and there's 15 of them. I would like to pick up on 2. You're like, okay, this is not me. I don't do these deeds or acts of the sinful nature. You know, I'm a good person. Well, let's consider a couple of them that maybe strike more at home. Impurity, anything that's displeasing to God that is defiling to our body. And envy. Envy is a huge one. Jealousy, we're never envious or jealous of anyone else, are we? We don't want that nicer house or car or more money or the bigger TV. We're never like that, are we? Materialism is rampant in our society, and that's envy is the heart, or jealousy is the heart of materialism. So let's not try to get ourselves away from this big bad list. I don't do witchcraft. You know, I'm good. I don't do that kind of stuff. Well, maybe you have envy in your heart and you want things that other people want. Well, so maybe when you go home, read through that, and there's a lot of things that might strike at our hearts that we do, envy and jealousy and dissensions, fighting among each other. The fruit of the Spirit. Again, they're organic and natural part of the Christian life. So if you are a Christian tree, you will produce Christian fruit. If you are an unchristian tree, you will produce unchristian fruit. So this is what's happening. So fruit of the Spirit is something organic and natural of a life that has been invaded by the Holy Spirit. These come from the inner life only. How can you do outward love, joy, and peace? That's really hard to do, to have outward love, joy, and peace. And you can tell when somebody is outwardly loving and outwardly joyful and outwardly peaceful. We call it glib. Or, you know, they're trying to win your favor because they really don't love you. Love, self-sacrifice for the good of others. Joy, this gladness in our hearts because of what God has done for us. Thankfulness. And this peace. Peace is huge. We live in a world that is unsettled and guilty, but only through Jesus can we have peace. That's 3 of them. You can read the rest of them. Those are great things. Only things that can come from a transformed heart. So hopefully you see the difference of the works, outward actions of the sinful nature and the real fruit from inside a person who's been transformed by the Spirit of God. So I encourage you, don't only say, oh, I don't do those works of the sinful nature. Well, look at both lists. Look at the works of the sinful nature and look at the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Because you can say, I'm not doing the bad things, but do you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Are you a person who loves others from the heart? Are you a person that is joyful and has peace? So compare yourselves to both lists. Be careful that we do not compare ourselves to each other either. So Paul is using these very clearly, that a person who has the Spirit is going to have these fruits. So, number one, walk by the Spirit, something we do. Number two, led by the Spirit, that's something the Spirit does. Number three, live or have life by the Spirit. Let me read these verses for you, verses 24 and 25. Those who belong to Christ Jesus, that's a Christian, somebody who has the Spirit of God, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Because of the Holy Spirit in us, we can do this to sin and smash it down in our lives only because of the Spirit in us. 25, since we live, thus have life, new life in Christ Jesus, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. It's like, oh, Jonathan, that's four things now that we're talking about. We have walk, led, life, and keep in step with. Well, keep in step is like walk, okay? Same idea. You're following along the line of the Holy Spirit. You're living in your life. You're living your life in conformity with the desires of the Holy Spirit. So keep in step with the Spirit is parallel to walk with the Spirit in verse 16. This is very important here. And if you're here for my message on Romans 6, verse 25 of Galatians 5 parallels Romans 6 very well. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We as Christians need to live in accordance with the new life we have in Christ. That's the only way to do it. Since you are a Christian, you live like a Christian. Since you have new life, you live out that new life in the world. Very important. We keep in step with the Spirit who has given us life. So, three things important, something that we do. Walk in accordance with desires, the new desires we have because of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit working in us to give us new desires, to empower us. That's the leading of the Spirit. And we have new life by the Spirit. And what's the only response to new life by the Spirit? To live out that new life as a Christian. I would like to give you three implications. Three implications of this passage as it relates to change, the series we've been going through. Number one, the transformation of the mind is accomplished by the Spirit. The transformation of the mind is accomplished by the Spirit. Last week, Pastor Mark talked about putting off, putting on, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you could hear him above the thunderstorm, if you remember, it was very loud. But hopefully you remember Ephesians 4, being transformed, putting off, putting on. How do we do that? We do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. The transformation of the mind, those new desires that the Holy Spirit gives us, those are accomplished. The transformation of the mind is accomplished by the Spirit. And I'm saying, how does the Holy Spirit do that? It sounds very mysterious, you know, this invisible person living inside you, giving you new desires. Well, the Holy Spirit uses means, and we're glad for that. Can you think of one of the major ways that the Holy Spirit works in our lives? Word of God. The Holy Spirit works with the Word of God in our lives, with fellowship and prayer. The Holy Spirit works in a congregation, so we encourage one another to live the new life. The Holy Spirit works by the Word. That's how the Holy Spirit works as we look through the Scriptures. So as we talked about transformation of the mind, well, we need to go to the Word and have the Holy Spirit help us understand it so we can formulate those new desires, the desires of the Christian life. So God gives us those new desires and we live in accordance with them. Now, there's something that I overlooked here in the passage intentionally. I would like to read you two verses from Galatians 5. Verse 15. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Maybe that sounds like your house sometimes. Your kids are trying to kill each other, you know. And then 26, let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So this passage is framed by people trying to destroy each other And of course, that never happens to us. We never fight with one another. Wherever you have sinful humans, you have fights. And I think the Galatian church was having some issues with fighting. They were fighting about theology and about the law and stuff like that. And they're about to kill each other because they're at each other's necks, as Paul says here, biting and devouring each other. The Christian life is lived out among people. You don't get saved and move to a monastery and live out the rest of your life by yourself. Well, maybe some of you will. but most of us live our lives with others. And so the best way to see if you have the fruit of the Spirit is get in a room of sinful people and see if you can love them, okay? So that is what I think those two verses are talking about. Because if you have the fruit of the Spirit, if you're walking by the Spirit, you're not going to try to kill each other, okay? So the Christian life is lived out among other sinners. So that's what those verses are referring to, I believe. So we live our lives, new lives, in relationship to one another. Number two, implication number two, the works of the sinful nature end in eternal death. The works of the sinful nature end in eternal death. If you look at the end of verse 21, it says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, those 15 characteristics of the sinful nature, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. If your life is characterized by the works of the sinful nature, and obviously not by the fruits of the Spirit, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. The only way to have life, new life by the Spirit now, and eternal life in the future, is by faith. If you are controlled by the sinful nature, the end is eternal punishment in hell, not heaven, or the kingdom of God. So those who live like this are not going to heaven. They're not going to be part of God's kingdom in the future. So very clear here. So examine yourselves. If your life is characterized by these works of the sinful nature, beware. The end is eternal death. But by faith, we receive the Spirit and can have glorious new life in Christ Jesus. So let's have hope that the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God, you have life now and life eternal. Only by faith in Jesus, Jesus alone, can you have life now and life eternal. Number three, the Spirit works in our lives so we can strive to please God. The Spirit works in our lives so we can strive to please God. And this is what we're talking about, this change on the road to be more like Jesus. So that's the Holy Spirit's work in our lives so that we become more like Jesus. The Spirit is always at work in the Christian's life. The Spirit is always at work in the Christian life. Our obedience is produced by the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Our obedience is produced by the Spirit's working in us. How? He gives us life and power so that we can strive and obey. Very important. Our obedience is not a condition of the Spirit's working in us. Our obedience is not a condition of the Spirit's working in us. It is a condition of producing the fruit of the Spirit. However, if we don't obey, if we do not live our lives in accordance with the desires of the Spirit, guess what's going to happen? You're going to have the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart and convicting you of how you're not living for God. So the Holy Spirit is always working in our lives. Our obedience is not a condition of His involvement. It's a condition of the fruit of the Spirit, however. So very important to know that the Holy Spirit always indwells a believer. We can grieve Him, we can hurt Him, but He will convict us when we're not following Him and not producing the fruit of the Spirit. I have a couple of things to say in conclusion. Number one, if you don't have the Spirit, you don't have life. If you have the Spirit, you do have life. Life eternal. Life in the future. Life now. The Spirit, the agent of the new life in Jesus, can only be received by faith in Christ alone. If you have the Spirit, you have the power to live pleasing to God. You have it. So go out and do it. We can go obey God because we have the Spirit. We can fight against sin because we have the Spirit. Maybe you need to wake up in the morning, Monday morning. You know how we love Monday mornings. Maybe we need to wake up Monday morning and say to ourselves, if you're a Christian, I belong to Jesus Christ. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Wake up Monday morning and says, Jesus has claimed me as his own, and the Spirit of God lives in me. That affects how I live. So maybe that Monday morning, let's wake up and say, I belong to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit lives in me. I can live for him. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Spirit who gives us life, gives us power, gives us victory over sin, and I pray we would walk in accordance with the desires of the Spirit and not of the sinful nature. Thank you for your involvement in our life, in our salvation. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.